There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're into the third hour of our broadcast here down at the Rooftop Garden at Barasti. It's myself, Robbie Greenfield, Dale Gordon alongside me, a man who's been glued for at least an hour and 50 minutes of our 2 hours thus far live on air, two proceedings of the royal wedding, and Carl van Rosenvelt, a man who is an anti-royalist and could not care one jot what happens over in the UK today. I know a man who has also been keeping a close eye on the royal wedding, and it does look like beautiful weather back in the UK. What a day, not just for a wedding, but also for a game of football. And he is en route to Wembley Stadium now. I think we can cross over and talk live with the head of sport here at ARN. It is Chris McCarty. Christopher?
I am there. How are you, Robbie Greenfield? It is nice to hear your voice. It's been a while, my friend.
It certainly has. It certainly has. It looks like you've got a good day for it, judging by the pictures of the royal wedding that are being beamed across the bunting here at Barasti, Chris. It's a beautiful day. What a day for an FA Cup final.
Absolutely. It is a beautiful day here in London. Currently in Notting Hill with your boy, Robbie Greenfield, Mark Archer alongside me, joined by our good friend as well, Nick Compton. We are building up to the Emirates FA Cup final, 5:15 local time here. Kick-off is Manchester United against Chelsea. As a Manchester United fan, Robbie, you know, you were with me at Old Trafford last Sunday. A little nervous heading into this one. United did not play well against Watford. I don't expect them to play well either. We've been talking about the Emirates FA Cup final over lunch, and we all expect this to be a tight affair. I expect penalties, in all honesty, Robbie. If there's going to be goals, there'll be two maximum. I see this being 0-0. I see this being 1-1. It will be a tactical battle between Jose Mourinho and Antonio Conte, and it wouldn't surprise me if we're here well past, well, not our bedtimes as such, but the sun will have set, and we may well see penalties at Wembley a little later.
You look at the last four times these two sides have met. Two wins for Manchester United, two wins for Chelsea in all competitions, but no more than three goals on any occasion, Chris. So as you say, it is likely to be tight. It is likely to be nip and tuck. What we're told, though, is that there will be a handshake, because that is, of course, all important. Manchester United's Jose Mourinho will extend his hand to be shook by Antonio Conte. Bit of bad blood, I suppose, the background to their ongoing feud. They seem to have patched things up. But tactically, how do you see the game evolving, Chris? And I'm reading that by handing Chelsea the possession, Manchester United can almost get the upper hand.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Robbie. I too am looking at that, because they're both pragmatic managers, aren't they? Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho. They will have done their due diligence. They will have studied each other over the course of the past week or so. And, well, you look at Jose Mourinho's record in cup finals. He's won 12 of 14. He is a man for the big occasion. I've said to you time and time again, Rob, on Sports Tonight, that if I was to choose one manager in a one-off game, I needed a victory in order to, secure my life, and I'd pick Jose Mourinho every day of the week, because he looks at one-off games, he will have studied Chelsea, he will ensure that United negate their qualities. That's what Jose Mourinho does. It will not be pretty today, I make no mistake about that. What he will do is he will look to take Eden Hazard out of the game, he'll look to stop Willian as well, who I expect to start. He will look to stop Chelsea's good players from having a big say on proceedings, and if he can do that, then he has enough. Romelu Lukaku, interested to see if he is fit to start. Alexis Sanchez had such a good record at Wembley. I think it's seven goals in his last seven appearances at Wembley. So there's a lot of match winners in that United squad. One thing, though, that we can all say here live on Dubai 103.8, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a war of attrition. It's going to be tactical, and I don't expect there to be many goals. As to for who will win it, I think, honestly, the first goal scorer, whoever scores the first goal, will go on and win this Emirates FA Cup.
Chris, looking at both managers under pressure at this moment in time, who needs this victory the most, Jose Mourinho or Antonio Conte?
Honestly speaking, Carl, I think Jose Mourinho needs this one more. Why? Because irrespective of whether Chelsea win this or not, Antonio Conte is not Chelsea manager next season. I have no doubt in my mind about that. He will be heading on. He may well end up back in Italy. We saw this past week Roberto Mancini named Italy national team boss. We don't know yet the future of Max Allegri. Could Conte maybe head back there? Thomas Tuchel's taken over at PSG, so he's not got an in Paris, has Antonio Conte. One thing, though, is irrespective of the result, he goes. For Jose Mourinho, for me, he's talked this week about there not being too much pressure, that this season will be deemed a success, whether United win or lose. I disagree with that fundamentally. Manchester City have won this Premier League title by 19 points. That's their City rivals. There's no prizes for second place in the Premier League. They need to win this trophy. If anything, it should convince the naysayers, convince one or two grumbles. Robbie, you were there at Old Trafford on Sunday. A lot of people not enthused by the football that Jose Mourinho and this Manchester United team are playing. Those dissenters, though, are quieted. They're silent if you get a trophy. I've always said this. At the end of the season, you're judged on trophies. If Jose Mourinho can win this Emirates FA Cup, he buys himself that little bit more time in order to get things right next season.
Yeah, I was interested to watch the interview with Jose Mourinho, Chris, talking about how the work on training, the progress they've made over a period of time, he's not going to, I kind of get what he's saying, he's not going to let the result of one game determine how he analyses that. But there's no doubt that there is a yawning gap, not just in style, but also in quality, between the two Manchester sides.
Absolutely. There's no question about that, Robbie. And I know the stats and the table will show that Manchester United will finish above Liverpool, that they will finish above Tottenham. But you look at those clubs, they look progressively mobile, upwardly mobile for me. I look at Manchester United, it's stuffy. It's not exciting. It's not, in no way, when I watch United, do I feel enthusiastic, do I feel excited by the football that they're showing. And I think on that, that's why this is so important. I go back to it. Jose needs this. He needs this in order to buy himself more time. There will be more money spent at Old Trafford this coming summer. No doubt about that, Rob. I'm expecting $200-300 million to be spent once again. Alexandro at left-back's been linked. I expect them to bring in a midfielder. I know they've been linked with Sergei Milinkovic-Savic from Lazio as well. So there's a number of players that they will be looking at. But are they good enough? Does Jose have the style? Rui Faria as well, his number two, is moving on to pastures new. So there's going to be a change in coaching staff this summer. And in order for United to move forward, I believe, for everyone to be on the same page, they need this victory today much more than Chelsea do, because Chelsea will move on. Antonio Conte will leave, a new manager will come in, and they will go again next season.
Fundamentally though, Chris, let's say Manchester United do lose this. Jose Mourinho's job, for the most part, in the short term at least, is secure, isn't it? There's no pressure other than the pressure that comes from disgruntled fans internally in Old Trafford. I guess what would lead to pressure, perhaps, if things do not go well at the start of next season. But right now, over the summer, Chris, Jose Mourinho secure in his job and his future at Old Trafford.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Don't for one second say that what I'm saying about it being an important day for Manchester United means that if they lose, Jose Mourinho's out of a job. That's not the case. What, though, it does mean is that third season, and Jose will be acutely aware of this, that third season, if United lose today, and I truly mean this, if United lose this today, the pressure in that third season for Jose becomes all-consuming. To the point, if they didn't win anything next season, I think you can make a legitimate case to say Jose hasn't worked out. You know me, Rob. I'm a big believer in progressive football. Yes, Jose has won trophies. Yes, I feel that he's taken the United on from the Moyes and the Van Gaal era. But what I'm hearing, speaking to people, Mauricio Pochettino is tailor-made for that football club moving forward. Football is changing in front of our very eyes. The accusations are that Jose Mourinho's been fought. He's fallen behind a little bit. He's behind the curveball. This today is a statement. This can show that he can still win the one-off games. This shows that he can still win trophies. That is important, because a lot of United fans who are still in the Jose Mourinho camp will point to, it's all good and well playing pretty football. You need trophies at the end of it. He won the League Cup. He won the Europa League last season. If he can have the FA Cup this season, it buys him more time. Lose today, though, and next season, the pressure just ramps up a little bit more, because, as you say, the gap, and let's be frank about it, the gap between United and City, it is a yawning one.
Chris, it's not, as you well know, it's not all about Manchester United versus Chelsea in the FA Cup. We also have a game at the Scottish Cup final across the border in parts that you know well. Celtic against Motherwell, going for back-to-back trebles. How do you see that one going? Also as well, across in Europe as well, in Germany, Bayern Munich versus Frankfurt in their Cup final.
Yeah, let's start in Scotland, Dale. Celtic, Motherwell. I've been in Scotland this past week. Excitement building for that one. I was actually at the wonderfully named Tony Macaroni. Yes, that's correct. Tony Macaroni Arena for the playoff, the Premiership playoff between Livingston and Partick Thistle the other night. Very impressed with Livingston. I thought they were excellent. But yes, all eyes will be on Hampden this afternoon. That one kicking off in just under 50 minutes' time. How do I see it, Dale? I think Celtic will start undoubtedly as the overwhelming favourites. Motherwell, though, excellent in their semi-final victory over Aberdeen. They've been in this position before. They were actually in the League Cup final a little earlier this season. On that occasion, beaten, of course, by Celtic. So for me today, similarly with the Emirates FA Cup final, the first goal scorer is key. If Motherwell have any chance, in my belief, of winning the Scottish Cup, they need to score first. They need to have a very, very, very good day. Celtic need to have an off day. But Brendan Rodgers has shown when his team, when it's a performance, he needs a performance. His team have often produced them. We've seen it in the Old Firm. He's got this ability to raise his performance from his players. And with Tom Rogic this past week signing a new five-year deal, with Jamie Forrest in the form that he's in, it's got to be Celtic all the way. As for Germany, Jupp Heynckes, what is he now, retiring for a third time, I think he is, against Frankfurt. It is the old boss against the new boss, because, of course, we're going to see Niko Kovac taking over at the Allianz Arena, taking on that job from Jupp Heynckes in the summer. So this will be a chance for him to lay down an early marker. This will be a chance to show his tactical acumen. That being said, Bayern Munich, they've been a class apart in Germany for the past few years. They will win this DFB Pokal Cup, I've got no doubt about it. So get your money on the favourites today. Celtic, Bayern Munich, and it's a toss of a coin between United and Chelsea.
Come on then, break the habit of the lifetime. Pick United to win today.
I'm not going to do it, Rob. I've got a bad feeling. Having said all of that, and I always have these bad feelings, I think I was just talking with Arch about this. I think this is my 54th time or 55th time watching Manchester United live. I've never seen them lose. So let's hope that I'm a good mascot today and that we get a victory. But I've got a bad feeling. I think we're going all the way through. As I said to you, it wouldn't surprise me if it's a penalty shootout, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's Antonio Conte celebrating an Emirates FA Cup success. And that will be his swan song. That will be his farewell. That will be his leaving present to the Chelsea fans. But then again, I am a pessimist. You know that, Rob. You know better than most I'm a pessimist. I'm a true Scot in that regard. Let's hope for a 4-0 Manchester United win.
I am a walking jinx, and if you can survive watching Manchester United with me alongside you and they still manage to sneak out a win, albeit a pretty ugly one, well then I think they're going to do just fine in the FA Cup final this afternoon, this evening for us over here in the UAE at Wembley. 8:15pm kickoff. Chris, I will let you get back to the sunshine of Notting Hill, my friend.
Absolute pleasure. And listen, just one other thing as well, Rob. Nick Compton has agreed to come on the show, so we don't have to message him at 6:50 on Tuesday night. We've got him booked in for next week, so that's half the job done for next week's Tuesday Sports Tonight, okay?
I will put my feet up now. That's fantastic news, and a big hello to the comp dog as well.
Top man. Cheers, Rob.
Chris McCarty, the head of sport here at ARN, and obviously my co-host on Sports Tonight at Dubai Eye 103.8. He is en route to Wembley, enjoying the sights and the sounds of London's Notting Hill as well. And ever the pessimist, ever the dour Scot, Chris McCarty is refusing to get behind and tip victory for Manchester United, Carl van Rosenvelt.
Yeah, why did we even call this guy? Absolute waste of time, seriously. I can't believe how negative he is. No, I totally disagree with Chris. I think that United are going to be too strong.
I think they are as well.
For Chelsea today. I do agree with Chris. I think it's going to be a very, very tight game. I don't believe there were too many goals, but I fancy United just to nip one in and then Jose to park the bus, and I think that's ultimately how it'll end.
I can't see it being the high-scoring game that Wembley saw last week with Spurs beating Leicester 5-4, and I think he's right. I think it's going to be a very tight affair. I think it possibly could go to penalties, like Ron Atkinson said earlier on. And it's down to the goalkeepers. You've got two world-class goalkeepers. So, Robbie, just going on, though, just to let you know, Celta Vigo in La Liga ended up winning that game 4-2 against Levante. And also, as well, Juventus has just kicked off as well. It's Buffon's last game for Juventus. Obviously, the trophy will be lifted at the end of the game again. And it's against Verona, and it's still 0-0.
We've heard from Ron Atkinson. We've heard from Chris McCarty. We will hear when we come back from Jose Mourinho, from Antonio Conte, from Eden Hazard, from Thibaut Courtois, from ex-United player Teddy Sheringham. We're building up now to the FA Cup final, Manchester United versus Chelsea at Wembley. Stay tuned.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Welcome back to the rooftop garden here at Barasti. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. The bunting is out. Barasti is full of onlookers, of revelers, watching continuing footage of the royal wedding taking place between Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. We are keeping an eye on all things sport, and I can tell you that Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic, their semi-final over in the Italian Open is now officially underway. Nadal faced two break points, in fact, in his opening service game, but has come back to take that game and leads in the early stages of that semi-final by one game to love against his great rival Novak Djokovic. We'll be keeping an eye on that for the next 35 minutes or so while we remain on air. And I can also tell you that having made 164 for 5 in their 2020 overs, the Rajasthan Royals are now trying to defend that total against the Royal Challengers Bangalore, and they're doing a very good job of doing that at the moment, because the Royal Challengers Bangalore suffering something of a collapse out there in this must-win game for both of these sides in the IPL. Royal Challengers Bangalore, of course, the side of Virat Kohli, the biggest celebrity, India's captain, the biggest name arguably in the world of cricket, and the best batsman in South African cricket. I'm sure you would concur with this as well, Carl van Roosevelt, in AB de Villiers. Incredible batting riches that the Royal Challengers Bangalore have got at their disposal, but they just haven't been able to be all that effective when it comes to the IPL, and they are currently struggling, toiling at 98 for 6 after 12 overs. So with just 4 wickets remaining, and they've still got to find, 67 runs to win this one. They've got 7 overs to do it. It's going to be touch and go all the way as to whether they can do it. Virat Kohli out for 4. Patel out for 33. AB de Villiers top scored with 53. Moeen Ali is out for 1. Mandeep Singh was out for 3. And currently at the crease is Khan and Tim Southee at 1 and none, respectively. So Royal Challengers Bangalore, they've got it all to do. Any update in the rugby, Cole?
Yeah, what I can tell you is Robbie, Saracens looking very good to make that final next week. Murray Otojo crashing over in the 71st minute. Saracens leading Wasp 50 points to 33. Fantastic second half from Wasp, but just not enough. Looking at Super Rugby, it's the Sharks taking on the Chiefs down in Durban. 18 minutes played there. The Sharks leading the Chiefs 10 points to 7.
We're going to continue to focus and to concentrate on the big game of football, one of the season's defining games over at Wembley. It is Manchester United taking on Chelsea in the final of the FA Cup. We've heard from Ron Atkinson. We spoke to Chris McCarty, who is on his way to Wembley to watch the game. That one gets underway at 8:15, and you can hear live coverage uninterrupted on Dubai Eye 103.8 via our partners over in the UK at TalkSport. But let's hear now from one of the key protagonists of that FA Cup final. Jose Mourinho has been speaking to the press, and he has been making the claim that 6-0 wins are not, and I repeat, not entertaining.
I still don't understand these words of the entertaining. Do you think 6-0 is entertaining?
If you win, yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think it's entertaining. I think entertaining is emotion until the end, is open result until the end, is everybody on their seats until the end, is both dugouts nervous and tense with the unpredictability of the result. That's for me, as a football lover, not as a manager, but as a football lover, for me that's entertaining. So I think so. I think it's going to be entertaining.
So what he means, Dale Gordon, is that if you have no fingernails left after the game, it's been entertaining. But far be it from Jose Mourinho to provide a swashbuckling performance where, as we've seen with Manchester City so often this season, they sweep sides away. I mean, I'm trying to get on his wavelength and try and see if I can empathise with what he's saying. But what he's saying is that one-sided sport is never entertaining, because sport is at its most entertaining when it's close. But it's only when sport is at a high quality and close that it reaches the heights of entertainment, right?
Look, I think he's protecting his record. He's protecting the way he likes to set his teams up, which is, you know, to make sure that the opposition doesn't score and whether or not they might nick it 1-0 and then obviously shut up shop again by bringing on negativity with regards to the substitutes to kill the game. But, you know, the only time when I really saw him really sort of, with the Chelsea game, talk about the two teams playing this afternoon, was when the Fellaini came on late in the game, and you know that they threw caution to the wind after that. They just threw the ball in the box and Flenny got a sort of late winner. But sorry, it was against Arsenal. But, you know, I think that, you know, for me, he is... What would you rather have, boys? I mean, funny, from a personal point of view, you know, I'd rather go and see Manchester City win 5 or 6-0, but be completely blown away by the entertainment and you know, the drama and the excitement, than going to see a 1-0, but maybe on the edge of your seat, because it could go either way. I know what I prefer.
You look at the games this season, and we talked about it on Monday Night Football just gone, about some of the highlights and the key moments and some of the most memorable moments of the season. And the game that stands out of the season, in the Premier League at least, is Liverpool 4, Manchester City 3. That was a game that had everything. Manchester City on the front foot, Liverpool so cutting, so incisive, so direct, so clinical on the counter-attack. CVR, there was that 10-minute spell where they just were too hot to handle. They scored 3 goals in 10 minutes. They took the game away from City, and then obviously with Liverpool's defending, we saw the other side of it, and City came back, and ultimately it was 4-3. But Jose Mourinho would have looked at that game and gone, ugh, that's horrible. That's not football. That's all over the place.
Yeah, to your point, I understand what Mourinho is saying, but you know, I have to agree with that. I think he's just defending himself. And to me, the times that I've actually seen Manchester United play well this season is when they're chasing a game. And I think, you know, if you really want to see...
Case in point, United 3, City 2.
Exactly my point. To me, that 15 minutes of, I actually want to call it United genius, Paul Pogba genius, whatever you want to call it, they finally came out of their shells and showed that they can play that attacking football when they need to. But it's something that they have in their armor, but he doesn't want to release it unless he really, really has to. And to me, that's rather sad, because I think they've got the players that can play this expensive game. I still feel for pace. They don't have enough pace in that team, but that's, as I say, just my opinion. But I kind of feel that when he needs to push the button, when he is chasing the game, Manchester United can play some exciting football.
They just don't move the ball quick enough for me. You know, when I look at them and I see, we always make comparisons, don't we? And I suppose you compare Manchester United, obviously, with Manchester City being their local rivals as well. And I just think when you look at a Man City team and you see the two wing-backs, you know, not only just going, like, playing really, really high, but you see Walker coming inside, he's near enough in the centre-forward position, you know what I mean? Because you're trusting your other teammates to fill in for you as well. Whereas Mourinho has that solid. He does not want players. That's your job. You stay there. You know, don't go past the halfway. It's like the old school. Don't go past the halfway line. You're a defender. Don't go past half. And we've seen the problems with Paul Pogba, and he's come under so much criticism this season. But when Pogba has been at his best is when he has played further forward, and everybody can see it. It's like Arsenal, isn't it? When we watch Arsenal play, you know, we know what the frailties were. Arsenal was as well with their personnel that they in their starting lineup. Everybody could see it, apart from the manager. And I think that obviously comes with the arrogance of the chap as well. But look, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a tactical game this afternoon between two managers who obviously have felt an unbelievable amount of pressure all season. And looking at the teams, I think that Manchester United, all the early, you know, the drums are coming for the teams of Manchester United. I think both, and also Chelsea, both goalkeepers are going to go with their number ones. But the important part of it as well is if Lukaku's going to be fit as well.
I'm not sure whether I should be, but I am looking forward to it. All this negative talk, even Chris McCarthy is not expecting champagne football by any means whatsoever, but that, unfortunately, is what we've got. We've got Chelsea, Manchester United. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be engrossing rather than entertaining on an expansive and wide-open point of view. But you never know. Funny things can happen in the game of football. We've seen it before, and stranger things have happened than an entertaining final between these two sides. We'll continue our build-up when we come back. We're going to be hearing from Antonio Conte, from Eden Hazard, and from Thibaut Courtois, the Chelsea goalkeeper, amongst others as well.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We're continuing to build up to the FA Cup final. Manchester United taking on Chelsea at Wembley at 8:15 p.m. this evening. Huge game with so many implications for both clubs. We've been hearing from Jose Mourinho. Let's hear again from Jose Mourinho. He's been speaking at length in the build-up to this one. He's been describing here, and we already know what he believes is entertaining football and what not, and it certainly to him is not 6-0 victories. What drives the man? What makes him such a relentless quest for success as a football manager? He's been speaking here.
If you've seen it all, what is it that drives you on? Where does that passion to succeed come from if you've seen everything in football?
You know, it's just my nature, and you know, I think that if I was not a successful manager, I would be a successful something, a successful PE teacher, a successful I don't know. I would be always a person with a drive, with this nature, and you know, probably the color of my hair doesn't tell the truth. Maybe people think I am much older than I am. Maybe because I arrived in high level football very, very young, maybe people think I am 66. I'm not 66, I'm 55, and even for the ones that don't like me so much, they are going to have me for many more years.
In other words, basically, Carl van Roosenvelt, what he's saying is, get used to this, because you are going to have to put up with me, like me or loathe me, for many, many years to come. And you know, he is 55, and we've seen Arsene Wenger go into his late 60s. He would have managed till he was about 85, given half the chance at Arsenal Football Club. Is Jose Mourinho going to continue at Manchester United? Do you see him building a long period of success there, or is it yet another case of no trophies, he goes somewhere else? I mean, he's run out of clubs, isn't he?
No, I think at the end of the day, and a lot of people do not realize this, I think my dad's probably the biggest anti-Jose fan in the world, but one thing I always remind him, Jose is a winner. Wherever he's gone, he's won. You know, he's won the Champions League with three different teams. He's won the Premier League title. He's won La Liga. He's won Serie A. You know, he's won the Portuguese league. So the man is an absolute born winner. I think for him, he would want to obviously win the Premier League with United again, and I think he'd want to get a Champions League trophy with him. And until he's achieved that, I don't believe he want to go anywhere else, unless Jose becomes his worst enemy, like we know he can. But I think, you know, if he kind of keeps everything neat and tidy, like we know he can, I think he's got quite a long career. Because I think, you know, in what he's saying, he's very true. He's a very driven person, and I do believe him. He must really would be good at a PE teacher, whatever other career he chooses, because that's the type of personality he is. Because Jose Mourinho, say what you want about him, playing entertaining football, not playing entertaining football, the man's a winner.
He certainly is. Dale Gordon.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with Carl, and I think that last year, you know, winning the Europa Cup as well, which Arsenal thought that was probably a little window to get into the Champions League. Manchester United actually went ahead and done it. And I think they won a League Cup as well. So, you know, on the back of people saying that, yeah, they didn't finish in the top four, you know, we knew that what he was doing, what he was focused on was the top four spot had obviously gone. He went all guns blazing for the Europa Cup, and he got it. And he took a massive risk, but that's what he does, you know. And I think that, you know, this season, looking at it where they were last year in the league and where they are now this year in the league, he's not going to settle for second. Why celebrate second, you know? But you got to remember from where they were last year. And so the importance of this cup is massive for Jose. And, you know, I think that when he reflects on his 2 years as being Manchester United's manager, you know, he's won the Europa, he's won the league, he'll hopefully win the FA Cup, and he's got him into the Champions League on the second season there. So he is a winner. He'll be looking to push on next year.
Let's turn our attention, if we can, from Manchester United to their opponents today, Chelsea. We've spoken at length about the fact that this could be, irrespective of the result, Antonio Conte's final match in charge of Chelsea. But what of the player most likely to unlock the door for the Blues? Eden Hazard has been speaking in the build-up to this game, and he was asked a question about the Ballon d'Or and about his selflessness. Listen to what he had to say.
My mom used to play football, yeah. And I went to the stadium to see my dad play, and I started to play at 3 or 4 in my village. We practice a lot with my brothers, so for me, I'm the oldest one, so it was easy for me to have the ball, and then they tried to catch me, so that's why I'm playing like this now.
Your father said that if you were a bit more selfish, you'd be a Ballon d'Or winner, but he's glad that you are how you are because of the man that you are and the father that you are.
Yeah, he always told me that. But maybe it's true. I think in football now, if you want to win something like Ballon d'Or, you know, top scorer, you need to be selfish. But I'm not like this, not at all. So I'm just who I am.
A couple of raised eyebrows from you chaps there when he came out with that statement. And he's got no lack of self-confidence, as Eden Hazard, but we've debated it on our show, Dale Gordon, about the idea that perhaps, just perhaps, because for so long, Eden Hazard viewed as a successor to Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, in that bracket at least, his numbers don't really stack up. They certainly don't stack up, because Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi have scored over 100 goals in the Champions League and been prolific for their clubs year after year after year. Eden Hazard has almost entire seasons where he just goes missing a bit. He's only scored 8 Champions League goals. He's not at that calibre, is he?
No,
selfish or unselfish.
Yeah, and that comes with confidence, not just from his own point of view, but also as well that goes throughout the team. You know, you need a confident team starting 11 to make, you know, if you're picking up results week in, week out, it breeds confidence. It breeds confidence to individuals. And he mentioned about being selfish as well. I think that, yes, Ronaldo's selfish. I think Messi is a lot less. He's more of a team player, without a shadow of a doubt. Mo Salah, who I believe is up there to win the Ballon d'Or this year, you know, if they go ahead and win the Champions League final, is he selfish? I don't think he is as well. I think he just takes his opportunities, but it also as well he is a team player. So I think Eden Hazard, to get into that bracket, that category as a Ballon d'Or contender, I think really he probably needs to move, maybe to a Madrid. And I think Madrid have not signed a Galactico.
Has he got the ability, do you feel?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's got the ability. And you could just see, for me, the way Eden Hazard plays his football, I just think that suits a Real Madrid team. And they're an ageing team as well now, Real Madrid. You know, they've got some players there now touching, you know, 30s and early 30s. And I think that Eden Hazard to go to a Real Madrid, that would be the level what he would need to play.
And if he did go to Real Madrid, do you feel that he could be capable of scoring 25, 30 goals a season?
Yes, absolutely. Because we'll have this argument again in a lesser league. You know, I honestly think that as well. And I think that he has played for Chelsea over the years now, and he's had fallouts, if you could call it fallouts, with managers. His form has dipped. You know, his highs and lows, and like you mentioned also as well, Robbie, his goal scoring as well hasn't been that consistent enough to, you know, in a Chelsea side which has had its 2 or 3 managers since Eden Hazard has been there as well. So I think that, yes, to go to La Liga and to score 25 goals, I don't think that's too much of a problem for a player of his calibre.
What are your thoughts on Eden Hazard, Carl?
I don't really want to argue with Dale, because Dale's the man that knows the game and has played at a very high standard. But I kind of feel that Eden Hazard, to me, I think he's a great player, but I think he struggles for consistency. You know, to me, if you look at the Ronaldos, I'm talking about Ballon d'Or winners. If you look at the Ronaldos and the Messis of current, is they just keep producing season after season after season. And I kind of felt, even when Chelsea wasn't a great run and they won the league, Diego Costa was their main man. It wasn't Eden Hazard, you know. So I kind of feel that he needs to, if he really wants to become a Ballon d'Or winner, I think he needs to focus a lot more on his consistency, because we saw what Ronaldo did in the Premier League. He was ultimately still one of the greatest players in the Premier League. He then went to La Liga and he's dominated that too. I mean, him along with Messi. So I kind of feel that, I do agree with Dale, Masrudi, he's got a better chance achieving that with a team like Real Madrid, but I still feel that he needs a lot more consistency.
I think what you mean, Dale, is when you see Eden Hazard in full flow, and on those rare occasions, and they have been rare this season, where he has been absolutely at the top of his game, he's a very special player. You can appreciate the talent, the dribbling ability, the centre of gravity, the balance that he's got. He really is, technically speaking, a wonderful player. But yeah, I mean, it's he's not the central match winner.
Sometimes you're only as good as the players you've got around you as well. And I think Chelsea have suffered with too many players over the last couple of years that have, champions last year. But this year, that there are too many players within that group of players that have really struggled for form week in, week out. And I think if you go to a Real Madrid team, you know, you look more consistent with your form.
Let us know your thoughts. 4001. We're on air for the next 15, 16 minutes or so, all the way through until 6 p.m. this evening. Don't forget, there will be live coverage right here on Dubai 103.8 of the FA Cup final between Manchester United and Chelsea. We'll get the thoughts of Antonio Conte. We'll get the thoughts of Thibaut Courtois as well when we come back.
This is The Grill. Tweet the team at Dubai iSport.
It's Robbie, it's Carl van Roosevelt, it's Dale Gordon with you through until 6 p.m. So just wrapping up here down at Barasti on the rooftop gardens. And what a beautiful afternoon it is. Sunny and a lovely temperature as well, Carl van Roosevelt.
Yeah, it's been a little bit hot, what should I say, under the collar here this afternoon at Barasti. But yeah, as you say, the weather's absolutely fantastic. If you at ends on what to do this evening, make your way down to Barasti. As I say, some fantastic sport. If you are into rugby, what I can tell you is Exeter Chiefs take on Newcastle Falcons. That kicks off at 6:30 this evening. I can tell you that Saracens are through to the final next weekend at Twickenham. They beat Wasps 57 points to 33. And if Super Rugby is your thing, you can come down and watch the Lions against the Brumbies. They kick off at 7:15. Currently, the Sharks are taking on the Chiefs, and the score is 10-all with 41 minutes played.
If cricket is your thing, then the IPL is on going, and I can tell you there that the curtain is drawing on the Royal Challengers Bangalore and the team of Virat Kohli and AB de Villiers, because the Rajasthan Royals made 164 for 5 in their innings, in their total at Jaipur, and in chase of that, the Royal Challengers Bangalore teetering on the brink, 128 for 8 with nearly 18 overs gone. They've still got to find another 37 runs with just two wickets and 14 balls remaining. It would be a heroic escape if the RCB could make it and get the win there. But it looks like Rajasthan Royals will have to rely on other results going their way later on in the IPL to find out whether they will make the 14 playoff. That's the update on the cricket. I can tell you that over in the world of tennis, Novak Djokovic is taking on Rafa Nadal in that one. And Rafa Nadal has made an early breakthrough in the opening set. He is 4-2 up. Novak Djokovic, love 30 up though on Rafa Nadal's serve. Nip and tuck there, but the Spaniard is a break up there.
And also as well, if you're a football lover and Juventus fan and looking to see how Buffon's last game is getting on with Juventus against Verona, it remains 0-0. Coming up to about 2 minutes before half-time, Robbie.
There we go. That's the latest on the football there. Buffon making his Juventus bow. We're going to return our attention now to football. We've been building up for the last half an hour or so to this Emirates FA Cup final between Manchester United and Chelsea. Chris McCarthy's had his say. Ron Atkinson's had his say. We've heard at length from Jose Mourinho and from Eden Hazard as well. Let's hear now from the Chelsea manager. Antonio Conte's been speaking and obviously attempting to draw speculation over his future away from this match.
It's important this, not speculation around me. It's not important. And the most important thing, what think the club? I repeat, I have a contract, and the club know very well the situation. After Saturday, we have we go on vacation, and then we will see next season.
Dale, does it surprise you that Chelsea have been so dithering in the way they've approached this? Antonio Conte has had speculation over his future for the best part of a season, basically right from the Diego Costa furore, which took place last summer. There's been rumblings of discontent at the club, the opening day loss to Burnley, the demeanour, the mannerisms of Antonio Conte as well, and yet nothing done by Roman Abramovich. Let's be honest, not a manager who is slow to act when things are not going well for the manager in the incumbent manager.
No, and his opposing manager on the touchline today, Jose Mourinho, knows about that as well, because obviously when Chelsea won the league and then Mourinho, we had the physio saga, didn't we? And then the fallout, the so-called, sort of like he lost the dressing room with certain players in there, and I think Diego Costa was one of those players, Fabregas was another. But what the Abramovich done was he reacted straight away. Mourinho left the football club and brought Conte in, and I think that it surprises me on the back of a Premier League being champions and trying to retain their title this year. There was no time within the beginning of the season that you felt that Chelsea had the right ammunition, if you like, to defend their title. You know, we know the insurgence of a Man City team that under Pep as well struggled under the first season when he was there, but they got it right. They went into the transfer, but it's all about recruitment, isn't it? And I think that's one of the areas where Antonio Conte really sort of like feels probably a little bit aggrieved that there was clubs around him within the Premier League who were investing big and buying players in, where Chelsea were on the back of a Premier League, winning the Premier League, and didn't really invest in bringing the right caliber of player in. Recruitment is so important, Robbie, as you well know that. And I think that the Costa thing is will leave a right bitter taste in his mouth when he eventually leaves that football club.
Dale, do you think we would be speaking totally differently about Conte and Chelsea Football Club had Morata been the man they expected him to be, if he had come in and basically taken over where Costa had left off?
No, because I think with Chelsea, there's other areas of the pitch where they were struggling as well. I think Morata, yes, massive money. But I always questioned it because I just felt that Morata was a signing which, I wouldn't say a panic signing, but I think a signing with, when he was at Real Madrid, he was shipped out to Juve on loan and then went back to Madrid. And, you know, yes, he's got great stock, but I didn't feel that, you know, he was just the answer that Chelsea needed. I think areas where the pitch, obviously the John Terry left and Cahill's even going to the World Cup, I feel that he's hit the area where Christensen was brought in, the centre-half. I think that, you know, Moses had a good season, but is he really, really, you know, what I would call like a world-class player? Chelsea lack in certain areas. Bakayoko came in. He's been a massive disappointment. You know, in areas of the pitch where other teams have really, really focused and recruited well, Chelsea didn't, and I think that was a big part of his, should we say, frustrations at Stamford Bridge, that they didn't recruit well enough in the summer, and this is the result of it.
How big a rebuilding job will the next manager, assuming Antonio Conte does leave, Dale? You mentioned the departure of John Terry and what a servant he was to Chelsea for, well, the best part of a decade and a half. John Terry in the early 2000s came to the fore in Jose Mourinho's first Chelsea side. He was obviously always going to be a difficult figure to replace, not just from a positional point of view, but the leadership qualities that he brought to the side as well. But the side basically is unchanged from the one that won the Premier League title, with one or two, obviously Diego Costa being the big loss. What do they need, and how much do they need to spend? Because Chelsea, again, are not they're not the free spending club that they once were.
Well, everyone's focused on what Arsenal are going to do and with a new manager and how much they're going to spend and how long is it going to take them to rebuild, if you like. And you know, with Spurs going into a new stadium as well, they've mainly kept the core of their players together as well. You know, Chelsea for me are going to go through a period of time now, and I think within the next 18 months, where they're going to have to get the manager first and foremost is so important. Recruitment-wise, who they're going to bring in? Oh, Robbie, I mean, they've got the treasure chest there, haven't they, with Abramovich's millions? But is that going to be, you know, the manager who does come in, is he going to be given time? Is he going to be given the funds to go and spend? And I think that what it will do, though, it will widen the gap between the likes of Man City, you know, obviously Manchester United, and more importantly Liverpool. I think Liverpool are going to be Manchester City's, you know, title contenders next season. They'll push them all the way, and I think Man United will do it as well. And I think we're going for a change at the moment with Wenger leaving Arsenal. And I think from manager's point of view, we mentioned it at the top of the show, what sort of manager are going to come in now? It's going to be not just a head coach, it's going to be the right structure behind the scenes. And that is just so vitally, vitally important. And I just think Chelsea, for me, are going to go through a stage now over the next 18 months where it's going to be hard graft for them.
The thoughts there of Dale Gordon, and a lot to ponder from Chelsea's perspective. We've got a couple of minutes left on this show this afternoon, boys, and I'm afraid it is that time. It is prediction time. How's it going to go? What is the score after the end of 90 minutes? And who is going to be lifting that FA Cup trophy? Dale Gordon.
Well, I think if Lingard plays, he seems to have a good record at Wembley and with Manchester United in cup finals. We've mentioned Sanchez. I think for me, it's going to be a Manchester United win. And I'm going to go for a 2-1 with Lingard to score the winner.
Big call there from Dale Gordon. Mr. Carl van Roosevelt.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely go for a United win. I think it's going to be quite a tight game, but I think that United I reckon they'll run Chelsea tired, if you know what I'm trying to say. I think their endurance-wise, they'll come off better. And to me, United 2, Chelsea 0.
2-1 for Dale Gordon. 2-0 for Carl van Roosevelt. I'm not going to differ from you two boys. As much as I feel like I should add a bit of a differential, I do think that Manchester United will win the FA Cup. I tell you what I will say. I think it'll be 1-1 come the full-time whistle, and I think United are going to do the job in extra time.
Well, I got the first prediction right this afternoon. I've got Meghan Markle saying I do. So
yeah, you were spot on with that one. That would have been fairly scandalous if she had done anything other than say I do, Dale Gordon. Listen, thank you to you for sparing the time this afternoon.
No, you're
always
most
great
welcome.
Have you on board. Thank you very much to Dale Gordon. I've already thanked Dale Gordon, to Carl Van Rosenvelt as well.
Yeah, thank you, Robbie Greenfield. Just looking forward to the rest of the rugby and, of course, the FA Cup final.
And I don't
tonight.
Have to wait long till I see you again, because you and I will be in studio tomorrow night on Sports Tonight from 7 until 9. No football, of course. The football season in the English Premier League has come to a conclusion. So it's myself and Carl Van Rosenvelt on Sports Tonight from 7. Don't forget, you can tune in to live coverage uninterrupted. If you're not able to be in front of a television, the next best thing is to tune in to us on Dubai Eye 103.8. There will be live and uninterrupted coverage from our colleagues over at TalkSport in the UK of the Emirates FA Cup final. It's Manchester United versus Chelsea. It is an important piece of silverware that will perhaps define a season, might even keep a manager in his job. You never know. That's all from us on The Grill. Thank you very much for your company. Thank you to Chris McCarty and for Ron Atkinson for hopping on as well. And we hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We'll catch you again tomorrow on Sports Tonight from 7. But until then, a very good afternoon to you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.